Hallelujah. You hold them up, make the devil mad just a little bit. Hallelujah. Okay, you can put them down. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? All the time. Well, anybody know what we've been studying lately? Lord Jesus, help me. Gary, you ain't praying enough for me, brother. That's not your fault. That's my fault. I'm not teaching you good enough. You'd remember it. We've been talking about the model prayer and looking at some of the principles there. And you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, which is where we've been looking at. It's kind of our text. We're going to continue along that vein for a little while till we get through with this thing. We've been talking about, you know, Jesus. The disciples came to Jesus one day, and of course, obviously, they saw Jesus because he was a man of prayer, and they saw him praying. Many times he went off, you know, by himself to pray. Sometimes he'd spend all night in prayer, but obviously the disciples knew that he was a man of prayer and saw him pray, and they also saw the life he lived. Not only, you know, the pure life he lived and the teaching and the wisdom he had, but also the miracles, all the things that were in his life. And so obviously they realized that, hey, I'm telling you what, this prayer thing's got something to this. And obviously, Jesus, you know how to pray. And they asked him to teach them. And he said there, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we've gotten down to where we've been talking about, where he said, hallowed be your name. And we've been looking at, and we're going to finish up this segment today. Not that we're through with all the redemptive names of God, because there are many. And I would encourage you to get your electronic Bible out if you got it on computer, and you can research this out. Or if not, get your, if you're still kind of old school, you can get your Young's or your Strong's Concordance out. But get it out and study it out, because there are many more redemptive names than we're going to take the time to look at, because we want to move along in looking at some of the principles. But we are going to look at a couple of more today as we talk about hallowed. He said hallowed be the name, and hallowing the name, honoring, reverencing, having faith in and understanding and recognizing the names of God, the name of God. And we're going to look at one called Jehovah Rohi today. I want you to turn to Psalm 23, of course. Jehovah Rohi means the Lord my shepherd. Can you say that? The Lord my shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. And you know, isn't it good to have a shepherd? Amen. I'm glad I got a shepherd. I got a high shepherd, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, God put shepherds in the flock under shepherds. And we're going to look at the great shepherd today. But, you know, God also, underneath the great shepherds, he put under shepherds. And you know what? Everybody needs a shepherd. Yes. Amen? Amen? Sure they do. I have a pastor. Pastors need pastors, too. How many of you know that?
Right.
Sure they do. We might need them more than you. I don't know. But you know, I have a pastor, too. And he speaks into my life and has for many, 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 many years. And Lord willing, he will for many more years. But here in Psalm 23, you want to look at just a few of these, the principles here, some things about it as Jehovah, my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Listen now, we're going to look at the verses here. Notice he said, the Lord is my shepherd, so what is the result of him being my shepherd? He said, I'm not going to be in want. Amen? Because he's my shepherd, listen, it is his responsibility, listen, it is his responsibility to take care of me. It is his responsibility to take care of you. Oh, you ought to be a little more thrilled about that now. Are you thrilled on the inside? Okay, that's good enough. He said, I will not be in want. And here's the thing, you say, but you know, sometimes, Pastor, I am in want. Well, that's when you need to remember the name of God. You need to remember He is my shepherd. Amen. You get into your prayer closet or you're going down the road in your car, man, you need to just remind the devil, circumstance, and everything else. Hey, wait just a minute. I've got a shepherd and His name is Jehovah Rohi, and He is my shepherd and I will not want. I'm not going to stay in need. Need, you cannot stay in my life. He is my shepherd. You know, it's very interesting if you study naturally about a natural shepherd in sheep. You know, it's pretty interesting. You know, if you're a sheep, it's not so flattering. Isn't it interesting that God chose a sheep, you know, to describe us, the people of God, His flock? Because, you know, sheep are not too smart. Listen, don't take this too literally, okay? Don't get your feelings hurt. God's the one that said sheep. But it's true if you study them. That's why they need a shepherd. They don't know where to go and eat. They'll eat the wrong food if the shepherd doesn't lead them. You know, if there's not a shepherd there to show them, say, hey, this is the way you need to go. Because notice when He gets on down there, He says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, still waters. You know, a natural sheep will not eat when the water is rushing. I mean, he won't drink. He has to have quiet waters. He has to have still waters. He has to have the right kind of food, the right kind of diet. And so here's the thing. We have a shepherd that is faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many know that shepherd is in the person of the Holy Spirit, isn't he? The Holy Spirit that lives within us. And He is the one who will lead and guide us. Remember what Jesus said? He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into what? All truth. Listen, you need to be careful what you feed on. Listen, what you feed on. Listen, we know this in the natural. Don't they say this in the natural? You are what you eat. I'm glad I wasn't thinking about that yesterday at the picnic. By the way, man, we had a great time. Everybody that came, you that weren't able to come, we're sorry. We really had a good time. I think a few folks ate your portion. But, you know, they say you are what you eat. And, you know, the same thing is true spiritually. You are what you eat. And so we need to be careful about what we eat. We don't need to just eat from any place. Isn't that true? We need to have a shepherd. You know, it amazes me sometimes. I see this in the body of Christ. And I know, you know, sometimes when we say this, people get the wrong idea. Oh, you're just trying to, you know, control people's lives. Lord of mercy. I'm not too smart, but I'm smarter than that. I found out a long time ago, a lot of times I can't even control my kids, let alone somebody's life. But here's the thing. We have a lot of people, you know, they just go wherever something seems to be happening. Oh, I heard something's happening over there. They go over there. I heard something's happening over there. Go over there. Listen, you need to be in a place where you get fed good stuff. Amen. You know, you can't live on cotton candy all the time. It might be great. Man, I love what we had to eat yesterday. But, you know, if we ate that every meal every day, we'd be putting on the pounds. So, you know, as a shepherd, you know, part of my responsibility under God is to feed you, is to feed you the right things, is to feed you. You know, and sometimes, you know, how many had kids growing up? When you tried to feed your kids, what was good for them? What did they do sometimes? They didn't like it, did they? They'd spit it out. They'd complain. They didn't like it. They didn't want to eat their spinach. They didn't want to eat their vegetables. You know, the hot dog was okay. The pizza was okay. You know, the brownies were okay, but don't bring me the vegetables. And so we need to have a balanced diet. You know, isn't that true? Hey, some of us adults are that way. We're not, you know. But here's the thing. We need to have a balanced diet. And He said that He is a shepherd. So if we will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, if we will put ourselves in a place where we can submit ourselves to an under God, to an under shepherd, and be fed the Word of God and be fed the things that we need, you know what? The Bible says we will grow and we will grow up and mature and grow up into the image of Jesus. We will grow up and be strong. We will grow up in faith. faith and in love and all of the characteristics of Jesus will begin to grow up. The fruit of the Spirit will begin to come forth and all of that. But here's the thing. If we rebel, if we do not submit ourselves to the great shepherd, especially if we do not submit to him. And here's the thing. How can we submit to say we submit to God, but we don't submit to his word? In other words, if God says, okay, he says, I'm going to put shepherds in the church, and those shepherds are going to be for your good, to help you. But yet we say, okay, you know, I'll submit to Jesus, but, you know, I don't want to be a part of a local church. Somewhere you need to be a part of a local church. Amen. If you're visiting today, hopefully you have a local church where you go and you have a pastor. But we need that, you know. And I know we can say, well, the Bible says we're all priests, we're all ministers, we're all equal before God. Well, that's true. But he also said that he gave shepherds. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. So here, as we look at Jesus, the great shepherd, here in Psalm 23, we understand that there's also a parallel underneath the great shepherd that pastors have a responsibility to do as well. But here's the thing. You know, if I lead, you have to follow. Okay? All I can do is lead. All the shepherd can do is lead. You know, your responsibility is to follow. All right, let's read this here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, sometimes you need your soul restored, don't you? You know, and how does he do that? By what you drink and by what you eat. Spiritually, I'm speaking spiritually. The Bible says in Romans 12 that our minds, we need to have our minds renewed, what? By the Word of God. How do our souls get restored? And remember, our soul has to do with what? Our mind, our will, and our emotions, primarily. That's primarily our soulish realm. You know, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, you're born again, you know, then the Holy Spirit's living in your spirit. Your spirit's good. The problems come about is in our soulish area. Wrong thinking, which leads to wrong believing, which leads to wrong actions. That's what gets us in trouble. That's what gets us in bondage. And so he says that part of what the ministry of our great shepherd is going to be to restore our souls. Amen. You need to get, you know, we need to get our thinking adjusted. Amen. If you think wrong, guess what? You're going to believe wrong. If you believe wrong, then you're not going to have the full life, the best, all the benefits, all the things that God has intended for you to have. You won't have those if you do not get your mind renewed. And the only way you're going to get your mind renewed is to what? Is submit to the great shepherd who's going to feed you what? From the Word of God. He says, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Now, God has not called us to what? To be afraid. He has called us as the great shepherd. If we embrace him and understand that he is our great shepherd, then we know this, that wherever we go in life, whatever we face, whatever the problems, whatever the trials, whatever the situations we face, even he said, even up until the place of death, if we know that what the shepherd, the great shepherd, the Bible says he's the great shepherd that God raised up from the dead. The great shepherd, if he is with us, there is no fear. I want you to, let's turn over to Hebrews. You can keep your place there if you want to, but turn over to Hebrews just for a minute. I want to read a verse there. I kind of partially quoted it, but I want to read it. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now I want you to notice, it says that God raised up the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen through through his being our shepherd, if we submit ourselves to him, notice what he says. He says he's going to equip us with everything good for doing his will. What is Jesus as our shepherd? What is he busy doing? He's busy building us into the image of Jesus. He's building us up as sons and daughters. He's bringing about the purpose and the will of God in our lives. That's what he is busy doing. Now, here's the thing. This is why it's so important that we be a part of a local church. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you go here and there, or you're hit and miss, you're in sometimes, you're out sometimes. Listen, we are not, you may love God, you may be saved and you're going to heaven. But listen, you will not live the victorious life that you could be living. You will not live, you will not grow up into the fullness of what God planned. Why? Because he says here that God gave us a shepherd, so what? That he could equip us for every good thing. And one of the ways he's going to do that is what? Is putting you in a local church where an under-shepherd can exercise that shepherd role, that pastoral role, that role to feed you and teach you and to equip you so that what? You can grow up into and fulfill the purpose and plan of God. And of course, here's the thing. If I submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and I submit to myself to the pastor he has put over me, and listen, somewhere, if it's not me, somewhere there's a pastor God has called you to submit yourself to. Somewhere in the body of Christ. If you haven't found it yet, just keep praying. God will show you, but there's one somewhere. You know, I remember years ago back in the 70s, you know, in the charismatic movement, we used to say, man, all I need is me and Jesus. You know, and that sounded so good. Doesn't that sound so good? Just me and Jesus. But you know what? That's not true. God has made us in a fashion so that what? We need one another. We need one another. Think how selfish I could become, or you could become, if I didn't need anybody else. Think how self-centered I would become. I mean, I would just live my life for myself and that would be it. And I wouldn't care what anybody else said or thought or needed or anything else. You know, I would just be an island to myself. Really, you know what you would be trying to say? I'm God. Because God's the only independent being in the universe. Amen. Oh, bless God, I'm independent, Pastor. No, you're not. No, you're not. We'll put you on an island by yourself. We'll see how independent you are. No, we all need one another, don't we? We need somebody. We need family. We need the family of God. We need people. We all depend on somebody. And we're interdependent. Only God is independent. God is the only one that doesn't need anybody. He is self-sustained within himself. Amen. Everybody else is dependent. And we are dependent on him as our shepherd. He says that he may work in us what is pleasing. That's what God is wanting to do. He is wanting through the great shepherd to work in our lives, to bring us to a place where we live in a manner that is pleasing to God. What is that? That we live by faith, that we walk in love, that we're quick to emulate him in being givers, that we reach out to other people just like he reached out, that we don't live to ourselves, but we live for others. Amen. That's part of what he's called us to do. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 10. We're talking about Jesus as the great shepherd. He is our shepherd. He's guiding us. He wants to watch over us. He wants to care for us. He wants to provide everything. You know, going back to that role of a natural shepherd and a sheep, the natural sheep absolutely provides nothing for itself. The shepherd provides everything. The protection, the guidance, the leads them to places where there's food to eat. Everything that's needed for the sheep, what the shepherd takes on the responsibility. And that's what Jesus has done for us. That's why the Bible says that he will meet all of our needs, what? According to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is our great shepherd. And he will meet every need of your life. Anybody like me, you ever tempted to be a little anxious sometimes about life, about what's coming up? Some of us are. You know, but here's the thing. If we remember at those times, if we will remember what? That Jesus is the great shepherd.
and that he has chosen to and has taken on all the responsibility for our life. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a great stress reliever. That's a great stress reliever if we will remember that. Jesus said, when you're praying, he said, when you pray, when you go to the Father and you're saying, Father, and you're praying and you're hallowing the name of God, you're honoring that name, you're remembering that name. He said, remember this, that I am your shepherd and that I am going to sustain you. I am going to keep you. And even if you're in a place where it looks dark, it looks like death is imminent, it looks like it's all over for you, he said, I'm going to be with you. And he said, I'm going to lead you through it. He's the great shepherd. He's going to lead you through it. He's there for you. He's there for you. In John 10, Jesus is talking here about himself as the great shepherd. Verse 1, he says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. How many of you know who the thief is? That's the devil, isn't it? The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Listen, Jesus is your shepherd. You can hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Hallelujah. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, Jesus is using, obviously, a natural example here because those people understood. He was probably talking to a big portion of his audience was probably shepherds. Because that was one of the primary jobs that people did in that day, they were shepherds. And here's the thing, each shepherd had his own sheep, and they knew his voice. That's the way that he would guide them and prompt them, was by the voice. He would speak, they would recognize, you know, because a lot of times herds would get mixed up sometimes, you know, sheep flocks would get mixed up and everything. They didn't sweat it, wasn't any problem. All the shepherd had to do when it was time to move on was to speak, and all those shepherds recognized his voice. They just lined up behind him and took off. He didn't have to go in and separate them. He didn't have to try to figure it all out. He just spoke. And what I want to encourage you as a believer, as a child of God, listen, because he is your shepherd, you can know his voice. You can know his voice. You know, I believe in prophecy, and I believe in prophetic words and the gifts of the Spirit, and thank God for that. But listen, you as a believer, you do not have to wait upon some prophetic word. You do not have to go somewhere where you hear there's a prophetic word going forth. Listen, you can learn to hear the voice of the shepherd for yourself. You can learn to hear the voice of God for yourself. That's one of the promises God gives to you as being your shepherd. He said, since I am your shepherd and you are my sheep, you can hear my voice. You know, many times the enemy tries to get us to doubt that we're hearing the voice of God. Isn't that true? And listen, I want to tell you something. The more you get your mind renewed to this book, the easier it is to discern and hear the voice of the shepherd. Because when he speaks to you, I'm not saying he's speaking to you in Elizabethan, but you know what? He's going to speak to you. He might if that's all you will hear. You know, I'm sure he spoke to Elizabeth that way. But listen, if you get your mind and heart filled with this word, the truths of this word, then listen, this is the language of the great shepherd. He is going to speak to you out of this book. He's going to speak to you the truths out of this book. And see, that's why you're able to hear his voice and discern it. Because if some other voice tries to speak to you, and how many of you know there are lots of voices in the world? Amen. You ever met anybody that didn't have an opinion? Very seldom, isn't it? Everybody's got an opinion about everything. And you know, it's true about our lives, how we should live our life. What should be the priorities of our life? How we should use the resources in our life? How we should use our time? All those different things. Everybody has got an opinion. You know, and there are many so-called experts that will be glad to tell you how to do those. And some of them may be good. But here's the thing. The number one expert I want speaking into my life is the Great Shepherd. I want to hear the voice of God speaking to me. And when I pick up this book and I begin to read it, and all of a sudden something comes alive out of the pages of this book, you know what? The Shepherd is speaking to me. He's speaking into my life. He's speaking to me. This is the way you should walk in it. It says, Jesus, verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came in before me were thieves and robbers. Listen, listen, church, let me help you here. There are not many ways to God. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Not really, but I'm, you know, I'm just trying to be nice. We live in a society where nobody wants to dare say there is a right and there is a wrong. Oh, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to dare say that, you know, some religion is superior to another religion. Well, I got news for you. Either Jesus told the truth or he is a liar. Let's just cut to the chase. Notice, listen, I am the gate. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said here, I am the gate. I am the sheep. He said, there is nobody. Anybody else is a thief and a liar. So listen, I don't care. You can look at all the what they call the great religions of the world. They will not lead to salvation. There is only one way. And I am not ashamed and I am not afraid to say it. Amen. So, oh, you're putting down other people's religion. No, I'm just telling you what the truth is. Right. And the truth is that there is only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so some of those voices want to come and tell you, well, you know, other religions, they have similar, you know, beliefs, and they have good things about them and this and that and the other. Listen, all that may be so, but listen, they can't get you to heaven. They can't keep you from the fire of hell. And I know, you know, nowadays, this is not popular. You know, oh, church, pastor, you talk like that, you know, people won't come. Well, that's okay. When I stand before God, at least I can say, God, I told them the truth. Listen, this is why you need a shepherd. You need the shepherd, the great shepherd, speaking into your life. Don't be deceived. Listen, there are lots of voices out there. And listen, they're clever. Oh, they're very clever. They couch it in terms that sound so plausible, sound so reasonable. They just sound so right. And after all, I mean, you know, we got to all try to get along. Who said that? Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. He said, I came to turn, you know, he said, even households will be against one another. I know, you know, we like speaking to the mountain better, I know. But you see, this is why you need a shepherd, though, isn't it? See, you'd be eating over there on that Hershey bar all the time. You got to have some of these greens sometime. Listen, don't be deceived about that. You know, and let, you know, this is why, again, we've got to make sure we're grounded in this, that we have a shepherd, the great shepherd, that we're listening. We've got this word in us, because I'm going to tell you what, you know, the Bible says in the last days, it says, if it were possible, even the very elect might be deceived. And the only thing that will keep us on a straight path is if we understand and have and commit ourselves to the great shepherd. To the truths of this book called the Bible. To the leading of the Spirit of the living God. That's the only thing that's going to keep us safe. Because people are going to come pretty soon. I mean, you see it now. I mean, man, if anybody gets up and they speak against Islam, that something about it's not true. Oh, my goodness. You mark my words. There's going to come a day when your life will be in danger. To say that Islam won't take you to heaven. Listen, I'm trying to help you out here. This wasn't where I intended to go, but evidently we need to go this way. Listen, Islam will not save you. Listen, Lots of precious people that God loves, that Jesus died for, are in that religion. But it will not save them. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the gate. He said, I am the great shepherd. Anybody else that comes, Jesus says, is a thief and a robber. Notice this. He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Notice here in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd. He has laid down his life for us that we might have salvation, that we might have a relationship with God, that we might call God Father, Abba Father. And he is our shepherd. And he said he's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to feed us. He's going to watch over us. Listen, but here's the thing. As sheep, we have our part. Jesus is the great shepherd. He's going to do his part. He is faithful. How many of you found that out? Jesus never takes a day off. You never get a busy signal when you call up heaven. Amen. Your email never comes back undeliverable. Isn't that right? I mean, man, he's faithful. But here's the thing. As sheep, we have our part, don't we? And our part is what? To follow. And listen, follow closely. Follow closely after Jesus. Follow closely after the Good Shepherd. Follow closely after him. I don't want to be way off somewhere where I can just, I think that's Jesus way over there. So, you know what I mean? I'm doing by illustration. I think that's the shepherd. No, here's the thing. I want to stay close. I want to follow close after him. Amen? Turn, if you will, over to Isaiah 59. Got just a few more minutes and we're going to be closing here. How you doing out there? You okay? Isaiah 59. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. I love the way this reads. Listen to this. (clears throat) 59:19. So as a result of the Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. And we're talking about him as the shepherd. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. You ever had the enemy come in like a flood into your life? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For he will come like a rushing stream, which is the breath the Lord drives. He shall come as a redeemer to Zion and to those in Jacob who turn from their transgression, says the Lord. Now listen, one of the names, now, this name here that's associated with Jesus as the great shepherd is Jehovah Nissi. Means the Lord, our standard bearer, the Lord, our banner. And listen, as he raises up a banner, he is the shepherd that leads us, that guides us, that feeds us. But when the enemy comes against us, you know what he is? He is the captain of our salvation. He is the one who lifts up the standard. Jehovah Nissi. He lifts up the standard against the work of the enemy. How many of you know when you go into battle, you're not going by yourself? Amen. When you go into battle, Jehovah Nissi is there. When you go into battle, it says that when the enemy may come in like a flood, that the Lord God's going to raise up a standard, Jehovah Nissi. Amen. How many of you know we've been given a name that's above every name? At the name of Jesus, what? Every knee shall bow. Amen. Every demon, every demonic force has to flee. Every sickness, every power of the enemy has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus, Jehovah Nissi. He is Jehovah Nissi. Amen. It says he is the Messiah. Notice how it reads there. It says, as a result of the Messiah's intervention, there's going to be a standard raised up. Jehovah Nissi, the name of Jesus. The Bible says, neither is there any other name. Here we go again. Neither is there any other name given among men whereby we may be saved. The name of Muhammad can't save you. Can't do it. He said, neither is there any other name. Just one name, the name of Jesus. So Jesus is the only name that is the standard that we lift up. So listen, church, what do you do when the enemy comes in like a flood? What do? You lift up the standard. What is that standard? Jehovah Nissi, the name of Jesus. We lift that name up. We speak that name and lift it up. And it says, what's going to happen? It says that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up that standard when we speak the name. And what? Put him to flight. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives. Glory to God. Amen. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is the Lord God, our standard. He is our shepherd. He is the God who goes before us. He's with us in every battle. He's with us in every trial, in every circumstance of life. You know, my time's up, but if we went on down through Psalm 23... He says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Well, that's got to be here now because I don't have any enemies in heaven. He's got to be talking about preparing a table right now. Isn't that true? He prepares a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. He sustains me. You know, we sang the song this morning. Love that song. In him we live and move, have our being, and they change the words a little bit because it seems better. He sustains my life. He is the great shepherd, raised up by the Spirit of God, raised up from the dead. And he's here to lead, to guide, to protect, to feed. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is our standard bearer. By his name, we defeat every enemy. He goes before us in battle. Jesus said, in this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be the name of Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd, Jehovah Nissi, our standard bearer. Think about it when we pray. He is our healer. He is our forgiver of all our sins. He is our shepherd, the great shepherd. He is our standard bearer. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who meets all of our needs. We hallow the names of God. When we come in prayer to our Father, we know this. Whatever we need, he stands ready to supply. Amen. Isn't that true? Yes. You know, I know sometimes, you know, people try to split theological hairs about whether God does this or God does that. I just like to take God's testimony. And what we've done, and we haven't looked at all of them, but we've looked at several of them, and there are many more. But, you know, as God's chosen to reveal himself through these redemptive names, he's chosen to say, this is who I am. Now, he's much more than that. But this is what he's revealed to us thus far. If God says, this is who I am, and this is what I'll do, then who am I to say God won't do that? He says, I am the shepherd. I am the one who's going to take care of you. I am the one who's going to sustain you. I am the one who's going to bring victory into your life. When he says that, then how do I hallow that name? By what? Simply trusting, believing, acknowledging, and affirming that name in my life. I said, God, you are my shepherd. Amen. Here's the thing. When the gospel becomes powerful is when I make it my own. You are my shepherd. You are my deliverer. You are my provider. You are with me. I'm glad you're with Seal, but I'm glad you're with me in my time of trouble. Isn't that right? So as we look at this, and of course... next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about where he talks about your kingdom come and your will be done. We're going to talk about the will of God in prayer because it's powerful. But listen, recognize who your Father is. Recognize how he has chosen to reveal himself to you. And in that revelation, let's reverence it. Let's acknowledge it. As Jesus said, we hallow it. Amen. In my life. Everyday life. Just everyday life. I'm glad that God is an everyday God. Listen, He's not just Sunday go to meeting God. Okay? God, you can, you know, God's good for every day. Amen. Right on the job, you can, He's Jehovah Jireh right on the job. He's your shepherd right there on the job. Whenever you're facing that situation, you're not sure what to do, He'll give you wisdom. He can give you direction. He's not just a religious God. He's a God of your life. And whatever you face, remember who God is, who your Father is. Amen. Your Papa. Amen. Well, would you bow your heads just for a moment? I want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there's so much more that could be said, that should be said concerning you as our shepherd, as the one who cares for us, who watches over us, who wants the very best for our lives. God, as simple as this message has been, use it to spark something in our lives, oh God. To spark, oh God, a new relationship with you as shepherd, a new understanding with you, a new walk with you as our shepherd. Lord, we want to know you intimately. We want to know you as a sheep knows a shepherd. We want to follow after you. We want to be close to you. We want to hear your voice. And I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we will embrace you as shepherd. Embrace you as shepherd. While your heads are bowed right now, I want to ask you something. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I know Jesus as the Savior. I'm not sure that I'm one of His sheep. But before I leave today, I want to know. The Bible says this. He said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name except the name of Jesus. And it goes on to say, whoever will call on the name of the Lord Jesus, they shall be saved. If you want to know that you're on the right path, if you want to know you're going through the right doorway this morning, I urge you to call on the name of Jesus. If you will call on Him, the Bible says He will not refuse. He listens. He hears everyone who calls on His name. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to call on the name of the Lord. I need to do what you're saying. Please pray for me and with me as I call on the name of the Lord. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm going to pray for you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Father, you've seen the hands, and more importantly, you see the hearts. The hearts of those that say, God, I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need the true Savior. I need this wonderful shepherd that the preacher was talking about. I need the shepherd in my life. I need the great shepherd. I need to know that my sins are forgiven. Jesus, save me. Jesus, come into my life. I give myself to you. I open my heart to you. Save me, oh God. Save me, Jesus. You said, whoever calls on your name, and I'm calling on your name, Jesus, they shall be saved. I thank you. My sins are forgiven, and I am saved. I am saved. It is settled. I've called on the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're already saved and you belong to God. Maybe you just need to renew your trust and your understanding that He is your shepherd. Maybe you're facing something. You've already spoken to your mountain. Maybe you're facing that circumstance and everything. Listen, be encouraged. You're not in it alone. You're not in the battle alone. You're not in the trial alone. The great shepherd, He's with you. And Jesus said this. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. I will not be afraid because He is Jehovah Rohi. He is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to go? No, when you leave here, just a couple of minutes, we're going to leave. You're going to go back out and face your life, however good it may be at the moment or however tough it may be. But here's the thing. You're not going alone. You've got a great shepherd. You've got a great shepherd. Oh, you can count on Him. You can trust Him. I promise you, He won't let you down. Amen. Well, you can smile, sorry. Hallelujah. Listen, tomorrow night, we have prayer here, both intercessory prayer, or if you need prayer, if you need prayer, tomorrow night especially, we have from 6:30 to 7:30, we pray. We pray over the church. We pray over our community. We pray over needs, any needs that people have. So if you can make it tomorrow night, 6:30, here at prayer, we'll be here praying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you ready to go have a good day? The rest of the day? Amen? Amen. Father, thank You, Lord, for this time together. Thank You for the strength of God that has come into us, has been renewed in us. Thank You for the truth we've heard. And most importantly, thank You. You are our shepherd. We leave, but we leave with You. Not alone. We leave with the great shepherd. Bless Your people, O God. Keep them this week. I thank You, Father God. They will know that You are their shepherd all this week. Sustain them. Guide them, keep them, bless them, and make them a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day in God.